right. Good morning, church. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate and enjoy being here for this is my second week, and I praise God and thank you, God, for that. I used to preach in Papua New Guinea. I preached 1 hour. I don't know why, but when you know three languages, the national language, English, and my dialect, I have a group of people that don't know English in the congregation. Then I have to explain that in the national language. And most of the people that they don't know English and the national language, so I had to interpret in my dialect. That's how I go for 1 hour, 2 hours preaching. But I won't keep you that long. But I thank you, God, for saving my soul back in 1998. I grew up in a country that nothing, no electricity, no communication whatsoever. I grew up in the village, in the jungle. But you know, God's amazing grace saved me and brought me to the United States of America, go to school in Marietta, Ohio, and it's, you know, sometimes I kind of question how in the world a village boy could ever come to, you know, United States, but it's all because of God. And I thank God for Pastor Chris and his family and the church family for praying for me and the family in the mission field in Papua New Guinea. It is not because of I'm a strong man that I still keep preaching in Papua New Guinea and doing mission work, but it is because of the pray for the Christians. It is because of your prayers that is what keep me preaching the gospel in Papua New Guinea. This is my seventh year to be in the mission field, and I thank God for that. And I have seen God's miracle work in the mission field. I've seen a lot of people got saved. I've seen a lot of people, you know, strengthen their life. I've seen a lot of young kids come to Sunday school and hear the gospel. But during my time, the first time that I rode on the PNB bus is when I was 16 years old. Back then, nothing. But thank you, God, for that. Wow. I won't keep you that long. If you have your Bible, Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter 9. And we know the stories of, we read the scripture, and we know the story of Saul. He wasn't a good man. He wasn't a good man. When you see his life, when you study it from the scripture, he wasn't a good man. And I believe all of you and I would say that. I wasn't a good man that God saved me. It is not because of my good work that I have done. It is not because of who I am. But it's because of the grace of God that it saved you and I. And you see from the scripture, the Saul wasn't a good man, but God saved him. Because he has a greater work to do. He had a purpose to do. He is the reason why God saved Paul. And I believe that from my heart, we have a reason why God saved us. And sometimes God didn't tell us what he wants us to do, but along the way, God shows us what he wants us to do. Now, when you see Saul was a chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, he was breeding to kill people. Verse number 1, let's read. And Saul, yet breeding out, threatening and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So that was the work he was doing. And when you see from that scripture, the chapter 9, verse number 1 gives the whole entire picture of who Saul was. But verse number 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. One very, very interesting thing to see is because we see lights, the sunlight, the moonlight, the stars, everything. But this light that came You know, the Bible tells us where it came from. It came from heaven, where the source was. And verse number 3, verse number 4, you read it, says, the light round about him, the light overshadowed him. That makes him, he doesn't have to move this way, he doesn't have to move this way, but you have to stand right there, because the light came from heaven. Verse number 4. And he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He doesn't say Christian. He doesn't, you know, call the names of the people, but it says me. Now Saul come to realize, I thought, you know, I'm persecuting the Israelites and I'm persecuting the Christians, but how comes Jesus, you are saying that it's me? Thank God that we are created in the image of God. Thank God that God give us the comfort that the Holy Spirit lives in us. Whatever persecutions, whatever things that we're going through, it is not us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, why persecutest thou me? And verse number 5, he says that, who are you, Lord? Paul wasn't confused about who he was, but he knew who he is. And knowingly, he was persecuting the Christians. Knowingly, he was trying to kill all the disciples. And that's what's happening in around the world today. People know who Jesus is. People know that the world is created by God out of his mouth, Genesis chapter 1. But they try to, you know, persecute Christians. They knowingly, I don't know, God will deal with them. The light and the voice. And Christ identified himself through the Christians. Say, hey, they are my people. They are my people. I died for them. I am going to cross of Calvary for these people. And I went through so much when I was in this earth. Jesus was saying, I paid for them. They are my people. Why they are my people? Because I bought with the precious blood. And say, they are my people. Why you are trying to persecute them? Why you are trying to stop them from worshiping God? Why you are trying to stop them from reading scripture, having fellowship with one another? It says, it's me. You are persecuting. That when you see in verse number 8, the blindness that humbled him. He think that Saul was thinking that he can do anything and everything. But when it come to a time that the light and the voice strike him off, one thing that happened in his life is the blindness. And that humbled him. That he can wait for somebody to tell him what to do. Ananias was there. Say, hey, go and tell him what he's supposed to do. And you teach him what he needs to know. Thank God we were on our way, walking and talking and doing what we want to do. But when the word of God strikes us, wow. How is that happening? But thank God, God saved you. We were on our way to hell. We were on our way to destruction. We were on our way to, you know, I want to live my life. Not for God, but I want to live it for myself. But God said, hey, no. No, no, don't go that way. You saw from there. You turn around and turn this way. Thank God for that. I always thank my God because I grew up in a country that no one even told me about Jesus. I never knew. When I was 20 years old, somebody told me that Jesus died for my sin. But, I thank God for this country, United States of America, that sent missionaries to my country, Papua New Guinea, and my cousin heard the gospel in the town, and he bring the gospel back to my village, and he preached to me, and I know that Christ died for my sin. God doesn't stop from where, you know, people stop there, but it doesn't matter there's a big, you know, river flowing. It doesn't matter there's a mountain. It doesn't matter where you live in the jungle or you live in the city or you live wherever you are, but when God wants to save you, it comes right there. We were, you know, we were doing our thing. But when God wants to save us from no way, God says, you are a man. You know, Saul was, you know, walking with other men too, other people. He was accompanying a lot of people. But Saul had the real voice. And Saul see the light. And you see the light and you had the voice and changed your life. Oh, I wouldn't trade that change in my life with anything. Not even with money, not even with anything that you can name it. I wouldn't change it. Verse number 20. We will just jump from one place to another just to get a grip of what the soul, and I mean, God was doing with Saul's life. And verse number 20, you see. Let's back up to verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, go the way, for he is a chosen vessel. Ananias was saying, I know this guy. This guy is trying to kill people. I heard about him. I've seen, you know, people bring it back to Jerusalem in captivity, and I know this guy, and, oh, God, you tell me to go that way? No. I maybe you are choosing somebody different, but not me. But God says, he's a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel. And God already knew that Saul is going to be, that, you know, his name is going to be changed, and he will be a chosen vessel. Then when Ananias, you know, approach him, he doesn't say, he's my enemy, but he says, he's my brother. Verse number 16, you see this? He says that he is my brother Saul. Wow. We were enemies too with God because of the endemic nature sin that started in the Garden of Eden to pass on from generation to generation. We don't have the right to call, you know, the sons of God or brothers of God or whatsoever. But when God changed you and I, everything changed. The name changed. That we approach, you know, the way we greet each other changed. Our thinking changed. The life that we see, everything around us, it changed. Our thinking changed and our walking changed and our action changed. And everything changed because the gospel has a power. Gospel has a power. In the book of Romans, you see the gospel is the gospel is when you see in the Greek word, it's a dynamite. It's a dynamite that explodes and changes everything around. Wow, God changed me. I believe the same gospel changed you. We can be from different countries. We live in different society, the places that we live. But the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel is the same. It's the same. We people change, but God never changes. God is same day, yesterday, and God is same today, and tomorrow He will be the same. Even you and I die and go, God will be the same. He never changes. Is it good to be a sons and daughters of a God who never changes? Now, verse number 20. God told Saul that he's a chosen vessel. When he say chosen vessel, verse number 20. And straight away he preached Jesus Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. That straight away. He doesn't wait for another day to come. He doesn't wait that, well, I need to go to Bible school. He doesn't wait that I'm not matured. He doesn't give an excuse because God says you're a chosen vessel. And the first thing he did was preach the gospel. That Jesus was, he was against him. That Jesus was, he was fighting. That Jesus was, he was persecuting. And he went again and preached the gospel. Why? God changed him anyway. God can change matters. God can change the very sinful people. Well, because God changed me, God changed you, and God changed Saul. And God can use you anywhere you are. Because verse number 15, chapter number 9, it says a chosen vessel. You are a chosen vessel. God can use you in your family. God can use you in your church. God can use you at your workplace. God can use you anywhere. Or God can call you as a missionary like myself, going to foreign country and preach the gospel to the lost people that are dying every day. That are dying every second without knowing Jesus, without hearing the gospel. You can be a chosen vessel. That you can be the light that changed Apostle Paul. You can be the voice that changed Apostle Paul. You can be the mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus Christ and go out and tell people about Jesus. That is the greatest work. You know, I came from a third world country, and you know, most of the students that I came with to study in Ohio, Marietta, Ohio, they stay back. They don't go back to our country. They don't go back to Papua New Guinea and be a missionary like myself. They stay around. I don't know why. Maybe they see the life in here is good. Well, I sometimes when I am in the mission field, I thought about staying back. But God didn't call me to stay back here. But God called me to go back to my country because I know my people. Because I know my country. Because I know the language that they speak. I know better than other missionaries know that I can tell them about Jesus. I was like this before. I was doing this before. My past was like this before. But God changed me. And these people, my people, wow. They see it and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, Apostle Paul, before he changed the name to Paul, Saul was the first thing that he did. When God told Ananias that he's a chosen vessel, he preached the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ that he was persecuting, he was trying to kill people for following Jesus Christ, he preached the same message again. Verse number 31. The church were having a lot of troubles. The church were not settled down as we are here today. Because we don't have persecution, that's why we bring your Bible and come to church. We don't need to, think about anything would happen. But during that time, they were in fear. Thinking that, we will be the next church that Saul will come and attack us or kill us, bind us, and, sending down to Jerusalem to take it as captivity. But you see, verse number 31. Then had the churches rested throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified. The church in Galilee, the church in Judea, and the churches in Samaria were at rest. Why? Because God changed the killer. God changed the murderer. God changed the person who was persecuting, making the church uneasy to sit down in the church and listen to the gospel. The gospel changed him. Then everything's like, wow. He changed it. And put to rest. The problems that were in the church, he put to rest. Why? The powerful gospel changed Saul. The second thing that happened, that Saul did, is he edified the Christians. He told them, hey, what I was doing, I wasn't aware of what I was doing. But the light and the voice from heaven changed me. I'm trying to help you to build you up. I'm trying to help you to grow. I'm trying to help you to touch you. I teach you about the Lord Jesus Christ that I was persecuting. He edified the church. He helped the church to grow. And he helped the Christians to grow in the Word of God. And edified the church and walking in the fear of God, the Lord. walking in the fear of the Lord. Maybe in the church, some people doesn't fear God. In the church, maybe some young people doesn't fear God, but they see the change in the life of Paul. They walk in the fear of the Lord. They walk in the fear of the Lord. When I was not Christian, growing in the jungle, I say anything that I want to say. I get anything that I want to get from, you know, from the garden. It does not belong to me. If I want to steal, I steal. Or if I want to, you know, say bad words, I say it. But when the gospel changed me, everything stopped. Everything stopped. And how to know how it happened? I don't know how the change happened in my life, but the gospel changed me. The word of God changed me, and I believe God will change your life. God will change your life. If you are looking for something to change your life, if you are looking for something to give you peace in your heart, in your family, the word of God has a power. All the questions that you ask in life, it's in the scripture. That will settle everything. It's in the scripture. Because Apostle Paul wasn't know what he was doing. But when he changed him, the church was at rest. The second thing that happened, he edified a Christian. The third thing that happened is he helped them to walk in the fear of the Lord. The last thing, he comforted them. They were comfortless. They were uneasy people. They were not sitting down doing something that will, you know, they were in trouble. Like the church will come and persecute me, or the soul in his team will come and persecute me. But when Saul got saved, the Christians were comforted. And the last thing is the important thing that happened. When you look at it in the scripture, the last part of it is they were multiplied. Wow. That is the answer of the chosen vessel. That is the answer of the straight away. He doesn't wait for another here. He doesn't wait for another time to come. It says, God, you called me, and God, you saved me, and I know that I'm the chosen vessel. I need to go out and tell people about Jesus. Now, verse number 31, the last part you see, it doesn't say it added up, but it multiplied. Wow. That's the power of God. God can use you. God can do that to you. Well, missionary, I don't know how he can do that to me. Well, if he can do that to Saul, sure enough, God can do that to you. God can do it. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing. In the eyes of God, the sinful man, God can change your life and God can use you. God can do it. Because God did it in my life. God did it in my life. God can save murderers, can save you for his glory. God can save you to be a witness to other people. God saved me to be a witness to my people. I never complain. While the life in the mission field is hard, it is hard. Do we have a problem in the mission field? Yeah, we do have a problem in the mission field. Do you have people, you know, say this and that? Well, we do have. It's a human nature. It doesn't matter which country you live. It doesn't matter where you're from, but it's just the human nature that we have still. Problem that we have in this country, we have in Papua New Guinea. But thank God, God help us through. God bring us through. And we are to comfort each other and be multiplied. How can we multiply? Tell people about Jesus. You don't have to explain all the Genesis to Revelation. No, say, hey, God loves you. He died for your sin. The simple statement, God loves you, the simple statement, he died for your sin, can change somebody's life. Because it is a power of God. It is the word of God. It's not your statement. It's not your knowledge, but it is the power of God that you are trying to tell someone about Jesus. Woo! It changed. It changed. I tell you, I have seen time and time again in Papua New Guinea. I'm not an intellectual. I'm not good at electronics and stuff like that. It takes me 18 years to learn English in my country. I don't know English. English is not my language. But God put the broken pieces together and said, hey, I want you to go back to your country and preach the gospel. This is my seventh year. God bless me with a wife. And I have a firstborn daughter. Secondborn is coming on the way. Oh, wow. I thank God for it. And it is a blessing for me to come to a crossroad church here with the pastor and the church. Oh, that makes me say, oh, wow. It's not me alone that following Jesus. It's not me alone that facing the hardship. I have a brothers and sisters in Christ in Atlanta, Georgia, in Crossroad Church that, wow, that blessed my heart. That puts more energy at the back. Hey, go back and do the work. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. Telling people about Jesus. Inviting them to church. Just tell them that Jesus loves you. And or preach to them. Maybe you make a phone call. Maybe you send a text through Facebook, whatsoever media platform that you try to communicate with them. Even though we can say this and that, but I want to encourage you. Tell them Jesus loves them. Tell them I pray for them. Tell them that, you know, you just a copy-paste of the John 3:16 and you send to them. Well, it doesn't matter you offend them or you don't offend them. But as long as you have a chance to tell someone about Jesus. And I say, hey, I'm praying for, you know, I know that God chose me. I know that God, you know, God wants me to do something for him. But I don't know where. I don't know how. Well, if you know how, if you want to know the answer how question, dig in the scripture. The scripture will tell you. And the scripture will lead you. And if you say, well, where I'm going to serve? Well, I invite you to come to Papua New Guinea. Come and work with me in the jungle. And driving up that rough road, you know, and walking around this barefoot on the dead, you know, that road, I mean, easy. Wherever you are, you can do something for the Lord. God can use you. God can use me. God can use each and every one of us. I want to ask you something. Please pray for my country. The college that I went to, we were 15 or 16 people came. But only two or three out of that, 16 young men and women came to train to be a preacher. They stayed back. And I they will be answerable to God. But I ask you to pray for my country. It needs a lot of workers. It needs a lot of missionaries. It needs a lot of people to go out there and reach them. Pray that God will let me, you know, bring more labor into the mission field, that we can preach the gospel to them. I want to finish with this. That's only two things. That's only two things that I found in the scripture. If I am wrong, please, you can stop me at the lobby and tell me, missionary, you were wrong. But I want to tell you, the only thing that will be for eternity is the word of God and the soul of man. I say it again. The only two things that Bible says will be for everlasting, for eternity, is the word of God and the soul of man. And you say, how do you know that? No, God. No, the scripture tells me the word of God and the soul of man will be for eternity. If you have nothing to do, pray for the mission work in Papua New Guinea. If you have nothing to do and you say, I want to come and help, welcome. If you have nothing to do, accompany me and let's go to Papua New Guinea and preach the gospel to the people. Let's pray. Well, all right. Let me pray. Papa God, thank you that you, this blood God who said he kissing back me, blah. God who said he buying back me, blah, want them blood, Lord Jesus Christ. Papa God, thank you, Lord, this blood work God you making. Papa God, thank you, Lord, opportunity where God is giving me, Lord, me can sun up now, out him talk, Lord, you. You know, because, Lord, good blood, Lord, me, you know, because, Lord, save blood me, but because, Lord Jesus Christ. Papa God, thank you, Lord, Crossroad Church. Thank you, Lord, Pastor Chris, and the family, want them church, Christian Leah. Lord, invite him in, have him in, come apart, Pablo mission work, Lord Papua New Guinea. Pray God you bless him all. You give him this heart desire, that this burning desire, Lord, make him walk blow you go big blah, Lord, one of God, you open him door again. God, Papa, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the word. And thank you for the people who listen. I pray that, Lord, if the word of God, some part of it is not clear, Lord, let your Holy Spirit make it clear, that we can grab the hold of the word of God and say, yes, sir, I'm going to go. I want to do something for God. If God can change Saul, a murderer, God can change anybody. If God can use Saul, God can use anybody. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the open door that I can preach the word of God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.